Thank you. We will dismiss our children to their time downstairs. And as they go, I just invite you, if you have your copy of Scripture, if you want to turn with me to Psalm 111, I just want to read a couple of verses to frame the rest of our service. Psalm 111, as the little people exit. We thank the Lord for all of those who help with our children. We are grateful for those that volunteer in that particular way. Today's a bit of a different day. We step aside from the normal rhythm of the routine of our corporate worship in order to invite folks to share testimonies. The Sunday that's closest to New Year, we usually invite a couple of people to share what God has done in their lives over the past year. And that's what we're going to do today. So we'll not continue in the normal exposition of God's word, but give voice to testimonies where God has been at work in people's lives. And we've often learned that that is exceedingly helpful in seeing and encouraging those who might be discouraged. And so to frame that time, the first four verses of Psalm 111, I just want to remind us, they say this, "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright and in the congregation." That's what we want to do today. We want to give thanks and praise to the Lord with our whole heart in the congregation. So this is a congregational expression of thanksgiving. "And so great are the works," verse 2, "of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them." This is the time of year where we can look back and think about what the Lord has done, study what he's done in our own life, contemplate his work and his activity, right? "Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful." And that's what we want to proclaim. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is merciful. And we want to remember what he has done. And so we have invited two people who are among us and are regular attenders of this congregation to give voice to that. The first is Fernanda Barcelos, who maybe you know, maybe you don't, but she's been fighting cancer for about a year and a half now. And so we've invited her to share her story of what God has done. She could not be with us today. She's visiting family. So she recorded a video. So we'll have Fernanda present by video, and then Mark Ashpole will follow the video. He will come in person and share what the Lord has done with him. So let's listen to Fernanda.
Hi, everyone. I'm Fernanda Barcelos. Thank you, Pastor Todd, for inviting me today to share my testimony. In 2024, the province of Ontario invited us to immigrate through their province so I could practice medicine there. But we had to move. Also, my father-in-law had recently had the diagnosis of myasthenia gravis, and being in Ottawa would be a drive distance to Woburn to him, so it would be great to be closer to him. So in the summer of 2024, we made it a 10-day road trip driving across Canada from Vancouver to Ottawa. It was a wonderful trip. In the second week living in Ottawa, the government lost our documents. By the time we could sort things out, they put us at the end of a one-year immigration line. Our health coverage from BC was ending in September. I could not practice without my papers. Okay, God brought us to Ottawa, but what now? What are we going to do? One thing we were sure by now, all the plans we made for ourselves, they did not work. But God's plan did. As Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "My plans aren't your plans, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my plans than your plans." In September, not knowing what to do, we received God's answer. We received the invitation from the American consulate in Montreal to have our green card interview. We were not even thinking about it anymore. In October, we had the interview and we were accepted. In November, we crossed the US border. And the U.S. of border offices, they granted us the green card. So Felipe and I talked. 3 years moving, the boys were in three different schools. Maybe we should just wait to the summer of 2025 so we could give the kids some stability in school at least. Ha, so we thought. Nevertheless, once again, we were restless. The little things were bothering us. Felipe's stepmom, she was going to teach the spring term in DC, so it would be good to be with his father during this time. We also started to have problems with the school teacher. So we said, okay, father, we got it. We were driving south for Christmas anyway, so this time we packed a U-Haul truck and we all came for good. So the first thing I had to do was to apply for the health insurance to enroll the boys in school. So I did it for the four of us. They started school in January and I started to study for my exams to go back to practice here. So life was about to start for the third time. Then came the unexpected news. On February 1st, our health insurance started to take effect. And on February 11th, barely a week later, I was going to sleep and I was covering myself when I felt like a rock in my right breast. On February 12th, I asked Felipe to take me to the emergency room because our GP appointment was only going to take place in April. And on February 20th, the radiologist doing the diagnostic mammogram, that was 95% chance that it could be cancer, that I should go home and prepare my family. I remember going to the car and I started to cry. And I started to think so many things. How am I gonna tell Felipe? How am I gonna tell my kids? My boys may grow up without a mother. I may die. How am I gonna tell my parents? How am I gonna tell my siblings? My God. So I went home crying, praying, and surrendering my life to Jesus. When I got home, I told Felipe, my in-laws, and I told the boys. So we saw God together as a family. God gave us peace, as in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. A couple days later, on February 26, right before I had to pick up the boys in school, the results came. And before I checked the results, I got down on my knees and I made the same prayer that Jesus did, not comparing what I've been through with Jesus at all. But I really wish, Father, if it could be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. I felt Jesus holding my right hand and saying that he is with me. I checked the result. It was cancer, invasive ductal carcinoma of the right breast with multiple metastatic lymph nodes. A very high risk breast cancer. And as the result had, in the moment that I had to pick up the kids, I went to school to pick up the kids. And, you know, I had to take them to the pediatrician for a routine appointment. Life doesn't stop. But you know that peace that surpasses all understanding? This is what I felt. Jesus is with me. So I text Felipe and he texts me back. God is with us. We're in this together. God is good. Felipe had peace too. And getting the boys in school, on our way to the pediatrician, I talked to them. Said, guys, the results came and it's confirmed mom has cancer. And they say, you know, mom, we were talking in school with some of our friends. Some of them have, their mom is a doctor, and they say that if you do the treatment, you can still be cured. And yeah, but you know, the treatment is hard. Mom, your hair will fall though. And oh, Mom, please don't wear a wig. And they were just, I could see by their voices and their talk that they had peace too. On March 5th, I had my first appointment with my oncologist. After 11 months of treatment of an estimate of 5 to 10 years, I remember the week between the diagnostic mammogram and the biopsy results being the hardest and thinking, how am I gonna deal with it? I learned that it all depends on who you look at. I could look at myself and think that I actively lived a life trying not to have breast cancer. I had preventive mammograms every 2 years. I self-examined regularly. My next preventive mammogram was supposed to be in April, and all was fine. My genetic testing never showed any mutations. I breastfed for 2 years. What did I do wrong? Or I could go in the direction where I could say, how can a loving God allow suffering in the world and allow me to have cancer? I could believe that my own sense of justice is just and disregard the Creator's perspective and the Almighty's justice. Or, like when Peter was walking on water looking to Jesus, I choose to look to Jesus too. Don't get me wrong. There were times I saw myself sinking. There were times I was afraid. There were times I was in pain. There were times when I thought I might die. And let's be honest here, eventually we're all gonna die. But knowing it might be close, it's pretty scary. And then I looked to Jesus. He's the only one who gave me my breath, and he's the only one who can take it away. While I breathe, I will serve him. I've been through 3 chemotherapies since March. I had 2 big surgeries in September. I had 18 days of radiation therapy in November, finishing one day before Thanksgiving. I was afraid before every treatment I started. So far, 11 months of treatment, 95 hospital visits. On December 12th, my oncologist shared with me that I have no evidence of disease, so I'm in remission. Praise the Lord. I was never alone. From the beginning, Jesus made sure I knew that he was with me. Lubna from Richmond Baptist Church in Canada and the sisters there, they were lifting me up in prayers to the Lord. And the Lord said to them, this is not to hurt Fernanda. This is for my glory. Another sister in Christ from Brazil, living in the Netherlands, Cynthia, she texts me, dear Fernanda, great thing about having such a diverse group is that you have people praying for you 24 hours a day. I just learned about what's happening and I join you in prayers. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. John 9:1-3. May the power of God be manifested every day through this whole situation. Be a period of struggles, but also of victories alongside the Father, who has everything under control. So as part of the church, the body of Christ, I'm privileged to live in a communion with my brothers and sisters all over the world. There are literally people from all continents praying and support me throughout this. And we are so thankful for every and each one of you at Hope Christian Church. You have welcomed us with open arms. Your prayers, your support, your donations, your delicious meal, thank you for each one of them. We feel so loved and taken care of. There was not a single day that I was sad that God didn't send someone to be there for me. One day, walking to radiation therapy from the parking lot, a lady passed by me and Felipe and said to me, Jesus loves you. Don't forget that. The other day, the radiation therapy nurse told me, "I like your face. It makes me so happy." I know it's definitely not Fernanda's face. I'm sure it's Jesus. I had bad and good days, but I always pray before every chemo and every treatment, and I receive them as cure for my life. Tatiana, another sister in Christ from Rio de Janeiro, told me this. This is going to be your missions for this year. What an opportunity to share the gospel and just to be a reflection of God's glory in Longwood Medical Area in Boston. One of the major examples is a story that I like to share. My oncologist, she called me and said, "Look, we're having some trouble with the schedule of the reconstructive surgeon. He's too busy and he doesn't have an availability to do the surgery with your oncology surgeon. But I want you to know that we still recommend that you do the surgery. We don't want to postpone removing those lymph nodes. In case they have cancer, we need to remove them as soon as possible." And, you know, just like I have this opening talking to her, and I say, "Well, that's great that you call 1 week in advance. We can pray." So this is what we did. We pray for it. Nothing is impossible for God. And then on Sunday, I think she texts me, "Surgery Monday with the reconstruction. I can't believe it. Your prayers totally worked." Well, I just thank God, not only for the surgery, but for the great opportunity to live this. God just loves us in the details as well. I was invited to join a missionary group going to Nepal this year, but God knew I wasn't going. So guess what is the nationality of the family we became friends from Lucas School classmates. So life hasn't been easy. Life happens. But one thing is sure, we don't know what tomorrow holds. And when the time comes, I know who's preparing my stay. Do you know who's preparing your stay? I know Jesus will be there waiting for me. And I hope when Jesus calls me, and it will be peacefully while I sleep. I know that nothing can separate me from His love. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. As Timothy Keller said, "See, if he wouldn't abandon you when hell itself was coming down on him, and if that didn't separate his love from you, do you think your having a bad week is going to do it? Do you think there is anything you could do that could destroy his love for you when that couldn't do it? Or when bad things are happening to you all over and you say, 'Oh, I must be abandoned.' If he didn't abandon you there, he is not going to abandon you now. This is the love we've all been looking for all our lives. I, Fernanda, surrender my life to Jesus, and as long as I breathe, I will serve him. My life will be for his glory." Thank you. God bless you all.
If you have not had a chance to meet Fernanda and Felipe, they typically sit right over here where Ashley and Anju are. When you see them next, say hi to them. She is quite an amazing lady and been on quite a journey. So now we'll invite Mark Ashpole to come and share with us and listen to what the Lord might say to us through him.
Verse 4 of Psalm 23, it reads, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, and that's because you are with me." Good morning, brothers and sisters. It would be easy to listen to the next few minutes and hear a story about how I went through a period of suffering. And then God came along and brought me through a period of healing. Regrettably, that's not quite how it happened. Now, I don't fully understand the theology of suffering. I'm not sure if God caused my suffering or if God just allowed my suffering. But I honestly, I'm not afraid of God being in charge. God sent his son to the cross to die for our salvation. I can trust him with my life. So allow me to share with you my story of pain and redemption and how God used this period in my life to shape and mold me into the man you now see. To start at the beginning, I'm a child of God raised in a Christian home and came to Christ at about age 15. Regrettably, in my 20s, I stopped walking with God. But I came back to God about the time of the birth of my first child, David. But God, he can use anyone, including me. And during that a period of intense prayer during a church service back in 2002, I felt a calling to go into vocational ministry while I was still on active duty in the United States Air Force in 2002. At that time, I was still stationed in Germany. I completed my Air Force career and then went to seminary and landed in a church in St. Louis, Missouri called Christ Community Church in 2008. Now, they hired me to what is could best be described as a executive pastor light. Now, what this means is I didn't have anything to do with children's ministry or the youth ministry, but I did everything else that the senior pastor didn't want to do. So this included things like adult ministry, finance, facilities, the front office, discipleship, small groups, and a few other odds and ends. Unfortunately, I wasn't accustomed to the rhythms of church life, and I was working way too many hours. I was used to working 5 days a week and then having weekends off. But in a church, well, you work weekends. So what I ended up doing was falling in the trap of working almost all the time. So for a period of time, I was working about 6.5 days a week, every week. It was crazy. It was stupid. And I was coming to the conclusion with the help of mentor friends that this had to come to an end. Another important fact to know about me is since about 1996, I have suffered from pretty severe migraine headaches. Fortunately for me, I've found some really good doctors along the way, and they have given me medications or combinations of drugs that have helped keep the migraines largely under control. So I've lived a life that was pretty normally for most of the time. In about 2012 or 2013, the trajectory of my migraines began getting worse. So I started in the church in 2008, and then 5 or 6 years later, the migraines started getting worse. At this time, this migraine trajectory ran smack into the path of me overworking in church. And as my headaches got bad quickly, and my ability to carry on as the duties of my as a pastor decreased rapidly, I was in a bit of a pickle. What do I do? Well, historically, when my migraines got worse, I would just go back to my doctor, and they would find another medication or another combination of medications to help me feel better. So I had a plan. I decided this would work again. So I went and I talked to the senior pastor at my church, and I requested and received a 6-month sabbatical to get better. During this 6-month period, a strange thing happened on the way to recovery. During this time away from work, my headaches didn't improve. Not only didn't we find a new medication, but the headaches actually worsened. Taking time away from work and the associated stress along with that kind of life actually got my headaches got worse. The headache intensity, frequency, and duration worsened. It wasn't supposed to work this way. It wasn't my plan. It wasn't what I prayed for. you know, what's going on here? In my church in St. Louis, I continued part-time for a few more years, but it became obvious that I couldn't handle the workload anymore, and I finally had to step down. And from 2013 to 2025, my doctors never found a set of medications or a combination that worked to get me back on my feet. During that period of time, I searched under every rock and behind every tree for a treatment that would work. I tried every new medication that came out, and I tried everything. I tried acupuncture, light therapy, massage therapy, a variety of stimulators, relaxation therapy, meditation, mindfulness, prayer, not praying, being angry at God, begging God, bargaining with God. None of these worked. Some of them were downright stupid. I mean, not praying? Really? The endless disappointment of pursuing treatments and having one's hopes dashed again and again and again wasn't even close to the worst part. Chronic migraine can be incapacitating. And the pain itself is one of the challenges you face. A severe migraine can be so debilitating that all you can do is go into a dark room with an ice pack and just ride it out. I'm also sensitive to sound, light, and movement. I also get nauseous. I could go to the emergency department, but guess what? That's at least a 6-hour process, and it's almost as bad as just staying put. The good news is that not every headache is a full-blown migraine, thank goodness. And sometimes I'm up and about and out of my bedroom, and I can just watch TV or something while I feel bad. Now, what I also could do was I could go and stay at an inpatient hospital unit, a headache unit, and they would give me IV drugs for 8 to 10 days until I felt better. In fact, I've been to these hospital units over 40 times since 2008. At the same time, I had migraine medication that would stop the headache, and that worked pretty well. The problem is that if I overused the migraine medication, the act of using the medication itself would cause a rebound headache. So I had a problem. If I don't treat the headache, then I have a bad headache. If I do treat the headache, I get a rebound headache. And I never had enough medication to treat all the headaches I was getting. Very soon after 2013, my headaches went chronic. That means I was getting a headache every 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I never had enough medication. And if I treated the headaches, then it wasn't practical, and it just caused me to feel worse. The other big challenge with chronic pain is almost worse, and that's its effect on your mental health. Before the chronic pain began, I never had any mental health issues. I was never depressed or anything. But the chronic pain does more than debilitate you physically. It also affects how you see yourself. I always felt like I was a pretty decent husband, father, and pastor. You know, I didn't win any awards, but I thought I was pretty decent. I loved many things in my life. I loved being in nature. I had a hobby of photography that brought me great joy. I exercised and I enjoyed snow skiing. I had lots of things that I loved. Yet after a few years of chronic pain, I lost most of what I loved to do and no longer saw myself as a good husband, father, or pastor. I had lost my identity. I would frequently ask myself, who and what was I? Literally, what was I good for? I could continue to go on about how hard it is to live a life filled with pain. Trust me, I have many stories I could share about how lost opportunities, missed events, letting people down, letting my family down, letting my friends down, and on, but if I did that, we would miss what God has been doing for the past 12 years. And that's what I'm really here for. See, God has been working with me and my family during this time of chronic pain, even though my opportunities to use my gifts were very infrequent. God was building me up for what I do not know. Let us start with my wife and our relationship. My wife is Virginia. She's here. I'd make her get up, but that would be embarrassing. Many of you ladies know her from her work in BSF and the nursery. Let me tell you about her heart for me. For our entire marriage, she has loved me even when I didn't deserve it or have not been very lovable. Some of you women can probably relate. But when I suffered from depression due to chronic pain, when I doubted my identity as a husband or as a father, Virginia's love was the antidote. Hearing her tell me about why she loved me as her husband and hearing why I was still a good example as a father lifted me up and kept me from sinking ever lower and lower. God sent my wife of that, I have no doubt whatsoever. Now, God didn't stop with Virginia. He was using this time of trial to mold me into someone new. My background is actually as an engineer. I have two bachelor's degrees in engineering and a master's degree in something called systems management. Honestly, I haven't used any of those degrees. Typically, I would say that engineers are just not the go-to people for helping those who are struggling. You just don't go look for an engineer. But take an engineer and humble him for 12 years of trials, put him through pain and suffering in a way that gives him a new vocabulary for talking about a life of hardship, and the person that comes out of that process is not the same one that went in. So instead of Mark that process guy and Mark that engineer, now you have someone who actually has something to say to people who are struggling, who can empathize with those who are in pain, and who has something, who is someone who can pray for those who are going through trials. Whereas I had nothing to offer people who were facing difficulties before, now I have something to say to them in their time of need. Not because I'm so smart. That's not it at all. God knew I needed a new heart and a new language so I could speak to those in pain, and that's what he gave me through all those years of suffering. Since we moved to Boston 2 years ago, my wife and I have been watching our two grandchildren, actually our two granddaughters. First, we watched Emma for 2 years, and she is 2 years, 10 months now. And now we watch Audrey, and she's 10 months old, so they're 2 years apart. I can't explain how, but this time of babysitting has been helping my headaches and softening my heart. See, you all know this, but God never wastes anything. Now, you remember my identity issue I talked about, right? To these little girls, I'm Pop-Up. Pop-Up. God is rebuilding my life. God isn't done with me yet. For the longest time, I couldn't figure out why God would send me to seminary, then after a few years of ministry, put me on the bench. I didn't like it on the bench. I still don't know why he did this. I probably will never know that whole answer. But in 2025, God put me in contact with kind of a coach who had an entirely different approach to healing, and it didn't involve any medication. So I'm going to be real, I won't go into much detail, but you go through a series of activities every day, and you need the help with the work of God, especially the work of God. And what happens is your brain is rewired so that instead of being in the fight or flight mode of sending pain signals all the time, your brain is at rest. That's the process. The result has been a slow healing process that has allowed me to return to ministry at Hope Christian Church. I'm a volunteer. You'll see an installation in January to make it official. There is pain. I still need medication, but the healing is ongoing. If you remember, I said earlier that I got worse when I stopped working. Well, I'm now slowly getting better as I start working again. Activity is good for me. I'm a pop-up, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and now I'm a minister of God. During the last 10 years or so, God has never stopped being part of my life. When I was active in ministry, God was there. He was sending people into my life and trying to help me to understand that I was working too hard and there had to be a balance between ministry and my life. During the period of chronic pain, God had not left me. He was sending people to help me and to pray for me all over this country. He kept sending people to help me, but it was still hard. A trial is hard. And you know what? Of course it was hard, because every trial is hard, no matter how bad your pain is or how difficult your struggle. But even during this period, God had been molding me and shaping me. Now, for a reason known only to God, He is now allowing the pain to subside. I don't know why or how much further the pain will be reduced. I only know how much my life has been changing since I moved to Boston. Must be a great city. In the story of Naomi and Ruth, Naomi went through a period of bitterness and came out filled up and redeemed. There were times in the last 12 years I felt empty, bitter, and depressed. I was in pain for just days and days and days with nowhere to turn. But as I look around my life right now, there is still pain, but I'm surrounded by blessing. I have 2 grown and beautiful children. I have a married son and his wife who's given Virginia and I 2 beautiful granddaughters. God has placed us in a wonderful neighborhood in Woburn, right close to our church that we love. I'm married to the best woman ever. Sorry, guys. I'm in ministry again. I am filled. I want to conclude with something very simple. Years ago, I came upon this verse. I've been waiting to get in front of a congregation and make it my own. It's Psalm 35, verse 18, and it reads, "I will thank you in the great congregation, and in the mighty throng, I will praise you." Today, I'm going to make this verse my reality, and for reasons I do not understand, God has helped, is bringing me healing and redemption to me and my house. Today, I praise the name of the Lord my God in this congregation and in the mighty throng of the Universal Church of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I praise you. Amen.
I'm hearing 2 people who have endured chronic suffering and lots of pain. And we have typically 2 responses in these kind of moments. We can either get angry at God and run away, or we can draw closer to Him. And I hear this testimony that Mark has shared, as well as Fernanda, of draw closer to the Lord and He will sustain you. You may have to go through seasons of suffering, but He will sustain you. And the promise that Mark has reminded us is that the Lord is with us. He walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. So do not abandon the Lord, and let your faith carry you closer to the Lord. And I think I speak for Mark. If you're one of those people who are struggling with chronic pain, or you have the difficulties that have endured over long seasons of life, go and talk to him. He's going to be around after the service, and he would love to speak with you. We also will have members of the prayer team, both here over to my left as well in the back to the right. If you need someone to pray with you, we would be happy to pray with you. So I don't know where you stand with the Lord or what's happening in your own heart, but if there are burdens that you need help with, we will go together with you to the Lord. So let's pray together. Father, we say thank you for the promise that you never leave nor forsake your children. We have both heard testimonies and seen passages of Scripture laid before us which promise that nothing can separate us from your love. And Lord, we look at your life, and Lord Jesus, you walked through suffering as well, and yet you stayed faithful to God Almighty. And Lord, I pray that you would pour grace and strength into the hearts of those who are suffering this morning. And Lord, let endurance be granted to all of us, because I'm sure all of us will face some challenges to our faith. But Lord, let us cling to you. Give us the spiritual strength and endurance to cling to you no matter what, because we know that you are holding us. And so, Lord, we praise you for that. We thank you for your goodness through all of the seasons of our lives. And as we sing, may we offer our prayer and praise to you, Father, as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. In Christ's name, amen. Would you stand and sing with us?